Our scripture readings today, as we continue our studies of the kings and the people of Israel, of the Israelites, will come from 2 Chronicles chapters 29 through 31, and I will read also a few verses from chapter 32. And then we will go to Hebrews 12, a couple of verses. So I'll read a few excerpts. Several excerpts from 2 Chronicles, chapters 29 to 32. I will read first verses 1 and 2. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Verse 16. The priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and they brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. Verses 20 and 21. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the officials of the city and went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. Verses 26 to 30. The Levites, the priests, stood with the instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord began also, and the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. When the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. And Hezekiah the king and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed down and worshiped. Verses 31, 35, and 36. Then Hezekiah said, "You have now consecrated yourselves to the Lord. Come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of the Lord." And the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all who were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. Besides the great numbers, a number of burnt offerings, there was the fat of the peace offerings, and there were the drink offerings for the burnt offerings. Thus the service of the house of the Lord was restored. And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because God had provided for the people, for the thing came about suddenly. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 1, 6 to 9. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. So couriers went throughout all Israel and Judah with letters from the king and his princes, as the king had commanded, saying, "O people of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may turn again to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and your brothers who were faithless to the Lord God of their fathers, so that he made them a desolation as you see. Do not now be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and come to his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever, and serve the Lord your God, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your children will find compassion with their captors and return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him." Verses 26 and 27. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, There had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came to his holy habitation in heaven. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, division by division, each according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and peace offerings, to minister in the gates of the camp of the Lord, and to give thanks and praise. Chapter 32, verse 1. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, then thinking to win them for himself. Verses 20 and 22. Then Hezekiah the king and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, prayed because of this and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who cut off all the mighty warriors and commanders and officers in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he came into the house of his God, some of his own sons struck him down there with a sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all his enemies, and he provided for them on every side. Verses 24 to 26. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he answered him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. Therefore wrath came upon him in Judah and Jerusalem. But Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Chapter 32, verses 30 and 31. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works, and so in the matter of the envoys of the princes of Babylon, who had been sent to him to inquire about the sign that had been done in the land, God left him to himself in order to test him and to know all that was in his heart. From Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28-29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. God our Father, the Holy Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of the Old and New Testament so that your word is without error and cannot be in error. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. We ask that you send your Spirit now to give us light, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the gospel of Christ and His kingdom. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, tomorrow we remember one of the major events in world history. So on this day in 1517, 451 years ago, a German monk named Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg. This challenge to Rome for a debate sparked the spread of the Protestant Reformation throughout Europe. What is little known about the 95 Theses is that Luther argued mainly against Rome's indulgences. In fact, the title of this document was Disputation on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences. But what are the indulgences? In those days, people can buy certificates of forgiveness to free their loved ones from purgatory. Johann Tetzel, the Pope's best salesman for indulgences, coined a jingle, a famous jingle that says, and I quote, "As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul in purgatory rings." End of quote. As Luther studied the scriptures, he found out that this practice by Rome is nowhere taught in the Bible. And so he found the practice foolish and a blasphemy against the cross of Christ. 22 centuries before Luther, there was a king named Hezekiah who also sparked a reformation in the southern kingdom of Judah. Right after ascending to the throne, after his wicked father Ahaz died, Hezekiah started reforming God's church, the people of Judah. He first ordered the Levitical priests to cleanse and restore the neglected temple. And then he restored the temple sacrifices and the observance of the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread. After reforming worship, Hezekiah reorganized the priests. Throughout this reformation, Hezekiah exhorted his people to reform their hearts by returning to serve the Lord and obeying his commandments, and so they did. As God had always promised his people, blessings follow faithfulness and obedience. Prosperity and peace followed Hezekiah and his people. And even when Sennacherib, king of the Assyrian Empire, invaded Judah and laid siege to Jerusalem, the Lord fought for them by slaying tens of thousands, exactly 185,000 of the Assyrians. However, prosperity also led Hezekiah to be proud, but sickness unto death humbled him to ask God's forgiveness and mercy. So God healed him, but he made another serious mistake. He boasted of his riches to ambassadors from Babylon. And we will see the outcome of this boasting later. And so on this Reformation Sunday, our theme is Hezekiah's Reformation under three headings, and refer to the sermon notes. So, reforming worship. So in 2 Chronicles chapters 29 and through 32, we find an account of the reign of Hezekiah in Judah. He was a young man of 25 when he ascended the throne of his father David, and he reigned for 29 years. His reign is summarized in verse 2. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So what he did right in the eyes of God is his faithful reformation of Judah's worship, practice, and doctrine according to God's word. King Hezekiah first ordered the Levitical priests to cleanse and restore the temple to its original glory. At that time, because of succession of evil kings who worshipped pagan gods, the temple of the Lord became what we might call today as a fixer-upper. And so the Levitical priests consecrated themselves to this task and finished it as the king had commanded them. After the Levites finished their work, Hezekiah restored the morning and evening sacrifices. The priests offered burnt offerings, sin offerings, thank offerings, food and drink offerings. Worshippers consecrated themselves to God with their burnt offerings. They offered sin offerings to atone for their sins. They praised and thanked God for his forgiveness and provisions with their food and drink offerings. They then sent to their homes, are sent to their homes, rejoicing at the things they have seen and heard in the worship service. These are the same things that we do in our Lord's Day worship. We confess our sins before God, and then we praise and give thanks to God for serving us through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, for all our sins. We then promise to God that we will be faithful and obedient to His word in our daily lives, a consecration of our lives. Finally, God sends us home with a blessing and with hearts full of joy. Note also that the whole assembly sang praises to the Lord as the burnt sacrifices were being offered. This means that the service is centered on God's work of saving them from sin through sacrifices then, but through Christ's once for all sacrifice on the cross afterwards. And so all these sacrifices for sin look forward to the once for all sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must ask two questions about this ancient practice. First, what instrument did they use? Since the people of Israel had all kinds of instruments they used in their culture, King David authorized only four: harps, lyres, cymbals, and trumpets in the worship service. This then means that we are not to use all kinds of instruments in our worship as we like. Our church and our federation recommends only piano and organ for use in our worship. Why? Because these instruments are counter-cultural. That is, they are instruments not often used in pagan rock concerts and celebrations, such as drums and electric guitars played loudly in a frenzied and wild state. The second question is, what songs must we sing? In the Old Testament, only psalms were sung in worship. So we read in verse 30, that the Levites sang only the words of David and Asaph, the prophet, which are psalms in the scriptures. The New Testament churches sang only psalms all the way to the 16th century Protestant Reformation. They did not sing hymns. It was only after the Reformation, beginning in the early 18th century, when hymns started to be sung in churches. But these hymns were composed mostly by sound pastors and theologians who knew their scriptures. The other main reformation that Hezekiah accomplished was the restoration of the regular feasts of Passover and Unleavened Bread in chapter 30. So the Passover was a commemoration of the escape of the Israelites from Egypt on the night that God destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt but spared those of Israel. God commanded the Israelites to bake unleavened bread in haste as they had no time to wait to escape Egypt. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb who saved us from God's wrath because of our sins by His sacrifice on the cross. As Paul says, for Christ, our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed. And in the New Testament, leaven is often a symbol of sin that spreads in our lives and in the lives of the church if not corrected and checked. So first, reforming worship. Second, Hezekiah reformed the hearts of the people. So a worship service is not merely a rote ceremony of going through the motions. As our Lord Jesus Christ taught, we must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit, because our whole mind must be involved. We do not say that worship does not involve emotions. Because in worship, all our various emotions are involved. Joy and sadness, awe and reverence. Here is where the Psalms come in. The great reformer John Calvin once said, and I quote, "There is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror in the Psalms. Or rather," he says, "the Holy Spirit has here drawn all the griefs, sorrows, fears, doubts, hopes, cares, perplexities. In short, all the distracting emotions, all the distracting emotions with which the minds of men are wont to be agitated." And so all of these emotions are involved in worship. When Hezekiah restored the Passover feast, he implored the people to return to the Lord and not be like their stiff-necked forefathers. They were faithless and disobedient. So God punished them by sending the Assyrians to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel. If they return to God, God's anger will be turned away because he is gracious and merciful. And with their sacrificial offerings, they repented of their sin and vowed to serve only God. Their sacrifices were pleasing and acceptable to God because they were offered with humble and repentant hearts. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread also reminds us of our own sinfulness. As the Apostle Paul exhorts us, "Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let us turn away then from malice and evil, which can easily permeate our lives and our church community. Rather, turn to sincerity and truth." The Lord accepts our worship only if our hearts are reformed and transformed by his word. As we read in 1 Samuel 15, "To obey is better than sacrifice." And what happens when our hearts are reformed and transformed by his word and spirit? Lastly, these are the benefits of reformation. The faithful reign of King Hezekiah teaches us the benefits of our hearts reformed and transformed by God's word and spirit. We have noted that the first benefit is a reformed and transformed worship. Worship that is countercultural with reverence and joy. A second benefit is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, the first part, when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, invaded Judah and laid siege to Jerusalem. Hezekiah did not rely on his powerful army to fight against the Assyrians. The first thing he did was to prepare for the long siege, but he also sought the help of the Lord in prayer, together with the prophet Isaiah. And how did God answer their prayer? He sent a destroying angel to destroy the tens of thousands of Assyrian warriors. Hezekiah's army did not even have to fight with swords and spears and armor, but with the angel of the Lord. After returning to Assyria in defeat, Sennacherib was assassinated by his two sons while he was worshiping his pagan god in his pagan temple. A third benefit is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, the last several few verses. Hezekiah fell ill to the point of death because of his pride in his accomplishments, glory, and riches. So we all fall to this sin of pride. We take credit for our own success. But we must acknowledge that it is only by God's mercy and grace and providence that we have anything in this life. Hezekiah, as he humbled himself in prayer when his kingdom was about to be destroyed by the Assyrians, again humbled himself before the Lord. Therefore, God relented from his punishment of Hezekiah and his kingdom. At the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we read the summary of King Hezekiah's reign. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. He prospered because he had reformed and transformed heart in his worship and practice. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what would be the summary of your life in your grave marker? Is it going to be, "And he prospered in all his works because he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord"? Or is it going to be, "He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord"? May it be the first. In verse 31 of chapter 32, after the good summary of Hezekiah's life, there is a short, ominous footnote that says, "And so in the matter of the envoys of the princes of Babylon who had been sent to him to inquire about the sign that had been done in the land, God left him to himself in order to test him and to know all that was in his heart." What was this all about? We read the answer in another book, 2 Kings chapter 20. Because of the destruction of Assyria's army by Hezekiah, through God's intervention, the king of Babylon sent ambassadors to Judah, probably seeking an alliance against Assyria. They also heard about Hezekiah's miraculous healing by God. So Hezekiah not only welcomed them, but he showed all the treasures of his palace and the temple to the Babylonians. This is, again, all because of his pride in his power and riches. Isaiah then rebuked him and made an ominous prophecy. He says, Isaiah says, "Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left," says the Lord. A century later, God fulfilled his judgment against Hezekiah's sin of pride. When the Babylonians invaded Judah and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, plundering all the treasures of Judah. This event started being fulfilled after Hezekiah died, a sad ending to his reformation. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father in heaven, we praise you for revealing your word of salvation and holiness to us in your word for your son Jesus Christ, who has turned your wrath away from us through his sacrifice on the cross, for your Holy Spirit, who reforms and transforms our hearts and minds in worship as we wage spiritual war against our enemy and his evil angels. We praise you that you have given us Christ our King to lead us to victory over all our enemies. For without him, we are defeated by our enemy. Through whom, him who saves us from sin and pride. Amen.